Welcome to Beers and Buckets, the podcast for beer and basketball. And we are like a week away from the basketball part. So we have a lot of ground to catch up in our conference previews. But here we go. We are talking the Pac-12 today. So before we do that, make sure you check out Variety Sports Network on Twitter. At @Variety_Sports_. I'm your host, Connor Caldwell, joined by Dal Harmon. Dal, it is Tuesday. It is 12:40 my time, 11:40 your time. How you doing this morning?
It's Tuesday, isn't it? I'm good. The NBA is back today. We only get two games, but still NBA opening day technically, which is always exciting. More basketball is better than no basketball. So, yeah, going well. Hanging out. Ready to talk Pac-12.
Yep. It's also secret scrimmage season.
It is.
Love seeing all the updates from that.
And some super secret scrimmages, which what's the difference there?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess super secret would be they don't post anything about it, where some teams have posted stuff about it.
About them. Yeah, like
I don't know. We had Notre Dame allegedly beat Xavier 91-84. We had TCU beat Alabama 85-81. SMU beat Kansas State 86-76. So there's a lot of things being reported. Doesn't mean like anything. Like literally means nothing, especially in close games like that.
Yeah.
The best one was somebody posted that Chicago State beat Kentucky like by 40 or something like that. People are taking that and running with it. I love seeing that. That's funny. But okay, well, let's get into the show. We're going to do a quick beer review, and then we'll talk the Pac-12 hot topics, team rankings, all conference teams, and then the season superlatives. So I did a beer review. I'll kick off the beer review. I had the Key Lime Pie Nitro, which the can is obviously hard to see with the light, but it is a sour ale from Left Hand Brewing in Longmont, Colorado. I think I've had their peanut butter stout before. It's pretty good. Peanut butter chocolate stout. But this one is 7.3% ABV, 11 IBUs, and Untappd has it as a 3.44, so a little under the normal Untappd, but not crazy. Not overly crushable. It is so much of just a sipping beer, because any more than like a big, like if you get a gulp instead of just a sip, it's too much. The can design, I mean, it's kind of basic, but it has a key lime pie on it, and I like the colors, so I'd say it's a 3.5 on that. The aroma is 3. It smells pretty good for being a sour ale mixed with lactose. The flavor is a 5 out of 5. If I could give it more, I would. And the appearance, not great. I mean, this has been sitting for a little bit, but this was the appearance in the glass, and it's just kind of just looks like a beer. But when I first poured it, it was super milky looking. And so after that, it came out to 3 out of 5, but I'm giving it a bonus like 0.5 for making a literal liquid key lime pie. Like that's what it tastes like. It's really good. So if you like dessert beers and want to try and sip on something, this is the beer for you. If you're not into that, I would not suggest it. So there's that. Dad, do you have anything you want to review, or are we waiting until next week?
I can go get one real quick. All right. I have, so I bought a New Belgium variety pack last week. And this one I'm trying is a Voodoo Ranger. Had it before. It's a Juicy Haze IPA. I say as I'm like kind of shaking it around. Probably a bad idea.
Mm-hmm.
It's like surprisingly light for, I think it's like 7.5. Yeah, 7.5 ABV. But really good beer. I feel like they have it on tap. Anyway, they have it on tap, it's even better.
Yeah, for sure.
Because that's essentially all beers. But
New Belgium makes good beer.
They really do. For crushability on the like normal scale, probably like a 2.5, 3. But obviously on the IPA scale, that's really high. I feel like you could do these pretty easily. There's not like a super like sharp aftertaste or anything. Can design, it's got a little skeleton ranger guy with a little the combo of like a fighter pilot's hat as well as a like wide brim hat. So yeah. we'll go four there. It's kind of clever. It also feels kind of spooky for spooky season. So gets a bump for that. Aroma. Smells like beer. I don't know. There's a nice little aroma there. We can give it a three for that. Appearance. It's in the can right now, so undetermined. Overall, I give it a four. This is a really good IPA.
All right. I like it. I think when we first started recording this podcast, Matt, Big Blue Breakdown, he did a Voodoo Ranger. I think the double IPA, though, and he was not a fan. I just don't think he liked beer that much outside of Bud Light. But
yeah, I think there are a couple different kinds. There's like an Imperial IPA. There's this one that's like the juicy, hazy one. I like this one better than the Imperial one.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm with you. All right. Well, let's go into the Pac-12 Hot Topics. So let's get started with it. The inevitable question, the biggest storyline of the Pac-12, is this the last season of the Pac-12?
Seeming like yes. Don't want to, like, the fat lady hasn't sung yet, I guess, but she's warming up her vocal cords and getting ready to go on stage, I feel like. So I'm going to go yes, but it's not for sure.
See, my theory is it's not the Pac-12's last season. It is the Pac-12 as we know it, but there will still be another Pac-12. I think they're going to take the best of the Mountain West Conference, maybe the best of the WCC. I don't know like how they would determine that with like not really having any football teams in WCC, but
that's the issue.
Yeah, but they definitely take the best of the Pac-12 of the Mountain West, and I don't know, trying to think of other teams or other conferences out there that they could poach from, but I think this is. I don't think this is the last of the Pac-12, and it's the last of the Pac-12 as we know it. All the legacy teams will be gone, maybe outside of like Oregon State and Washington State. Those two will stay, obviously, and then everybody else will go. And then, they'll get Boise State. They'll get, fill in the blank, San Diego State, whatever.
Apparently, it doesn't matter where you're located, so they could go get I don't know, anyone from the East Coast if they wanted to, and still call it the Pac-12 because.
I like that, though. I think it's fine. Like, who cares where you're located kind of deal. I mean, it makes it easier for travel for interconference games or whatever. So that makes sense. But like, also, like, since we're nitpicking this, let's drop the numbers. Like, it's so stupid. Pac-12 is actually the only one that does it right with the numbers. They actually have 12 teams. But everybody else.
I feel dumb. Yeah, they do.
Big 12, drop the number. Big 12. Just rename it. Big, I don't know. Just change the name for how many teams you have. Just make sense.
Insert number here.
Yeah.
That's.
Yeah. So maybe stop adding and dropping teams so often you don't have to change the name. I don't know. Just a thought. But yeah, I don't think it's the last we've seen of the Pac-12. It's just the last we've seen of this Pac-12. I think there'll be other teams that join in. Boise State, I think, will be highlighted. Like I said, San Diego State. Colorado State, just name any other Mountain West team and yeah, you got it there. Sorry, Mountain West. I think you're getting the brunt of losing the conference, but Pac-12 will be fine. USC, will Bronny James be able to play? And if he does, what kind of impact will he have post health scare?
I mean, I'm not a doctor. So, and even if I was, I'm not his doctor. So, I don't actually know if he'll be able to play. It would be awesome if he does, just because, one, that probably gets him to the league a year earlier if he is able to play and does want to get to the league and play with his dad. We're running out of years for LeBron. Like, I understand that he's superhuman, essentially, but like, it's still at some point time catches
everyone. And he's not going to go out sad. That's the thing. LeBron's not going to go out sad and be like Udonis Haslem, playing like 1 minute a game.
Haslem is the greatest Heat player of all time. I don't know what you're talking about. We're on a clock for that to happen, and so that would be cool. He's a great player. I don't know if he's he would probably be what I don't even know if he would. Yeah, he would probably be like the sixth man on that team.
Yeah, I think he's the sixth.
He would even be. It's not even be like a big time piece starting wise for them, but he is a great like glue guy, connector, high basketball IQ, great playmaker. So
if he was about 2 or 3 inches taller, he'd be able to beat out somebody in the starting lineup for USC. I don't see it right now, though.
No, I don't either. But like to that point, though, he just like would be a great guy to have to like kind of fill holes wherever they needed it, which would make them a lot better. So it had a huge impact on the league. Plus, just from like a viewership perspective, I'm sure that would get covered a ton. So hopefully he plays.
Yeah, I don't know what kind of impact he will have on this team. I mean, he's not taking minutes from Isaiah Collier or Boogie Ellis. I don't even think he'll take minutes from Kobe Johnson. Like, it's just there's not a lot of space on this team for him. It seems like, so it's interesting that he picked them, just because how loaded their backcourt is already. If, like I said, if he is 3-4 inches taller, he could definitely battle for some minutes at the 4 or 5 or whatever. Obviously not the case. You know, how many players on this team are over 6'7"?
All right, I'm not going to count it because I can see it right here on my screen. But let's go. They're a big team, I know. Let's go 6.
Over 6'7", there's only 5.
Ah, yeah. And, like, a lot of them are their bench guys and freshmen. So.
Yeah, the only ones gonna get significant minutes. They only have like 3 guys over 6'7" that are gonna get significant minutes. So while they are big in the backcourt, they are small in the frontcourt.
This is them trying to trick us. Whenever we look at average height on KenPom, that's them trying to trick us and think that they're a big team when they're not.
Yeah, well, they have, like I said, they have big guards. I mean, like Zay Collier 6'5".
True.
Kobe Johnson 6'6", DJ Rodman 6'6", you know.
They're stat padding on the back end with the 7'1" guy, and a couple other, like 6'10", 6'11". Guys.
Yeah, so we'll see. All right. UCLA, it's a big-time reboot for the Bruins. So call your shot right now. Is Mick Cronin good enough to coach this roster turnover, or do they fall this year?
I think they will. I mean, define falling, because they're probably going to not be as good as they were last year. But that's kind of what happens when you lose your point guard that you've had for, 4 years? Jaime Jaquez, one of the best college basketball players.
Yeah, I mean, like, this is Mick Cronin's 5th season at UCLA. We haven't seen him without these guys, right? So what do we expect from him kind of deal? Is he that roster merchant, or is he a good enough coach to keep them where they were?
So this is a very different roster. They are much younger. They'll probably start 2, if not 3 freshmen. I think there'll be some growing pains, but this class that they're bringing in is incredibly, incredibly talented. So I think that he's a good enough recruiter in this case, where his talent, like, it won't really matter. I bet they finish like 4th or 5th. I can't remember exactly where I have them in the rankings later, but like, I still think they'll be a top 5 team just based on the talent, not even speak. Like, his coaching is kind of irrelevant to me because this team should be so good.
I think this team will be good in like 2-3 years. I don't think this is the year that we'll see their full potential as a college team.
Well, I got bad news, because Neymar is only going to be there for a year. So we're not seeing it now. I don't know when we see it.
That's true. I don't know if he's – I just don't know enough about Mick Cronin outside of what he's done in recent history. Like, Cincinnati, he wasn't that great. He recruited well, but it felt like it was coaching that held them back. So could be the same this year. We'll see. And just losing Jaime Jaquez, Tiger Campbell, Jalen Clark, Kamari Bailey. Like, those are significant losses. So hard to tell. Okay.
Am I higher on him because I'll probably start four guys over 6'7"? Who's to say?
Arizona, will Caleb Love underachieve, meet expectations, or overachieve for the Wildcats?
Whose expectations are we talking about?
General
expectations, he will underperform because he's not that good. My expectations, he'll probably be fine. But I do not have high expectations for him. I'm sure he'll put up good numbers because that's what he does because he plays so often. But like, I don't think he really impacts winning all that well.
That's my thing. It's like, yeah, you can put up good numbers, but if you lose, you lose. Like, yeah.
And they'll probably win because they're good. And like, he's the fourth best player on that team, probably. You can make the case maybe even worse. So like, they'll probably be fine because the Pac-12 we'll talk about is top heavy in a couple teams, but they're like, they should be able to handle just talent out talent.
Yeah.
Like what, 3/4 of this league. So Arizona will be fine. I think Caleb Love won't be a huge contributor to their winning though.
Yeah.
He'll put up stats cause he'll play a lot, but that's it.
All right. Well, let's get into our rankings then. Who do you have number one?
I have the team that, even without Bronny James, I think will probably finish first.
Yes, I'm here.
The USC Trojans.
Yeah. We both have the same number one. This is a really deep team. Again, they are undersized. I think they'll just have more talent, and that's why they'll win.
They're not undersized until you get to
the back or front court. Yeah.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but even then, if they want to go fast, they'll be able to go fast. And
yes,
that's how they're going to beat teams.
For sure.
You have Colorado 2, I have Arizona 2, and then we have it flipped. So you have Arizona 3, I have Colorado 3.
I think the big thing here is I still don't know exactly what to think about Tommy Lloyd. And I think Arizona will probably be deeper. They're both kind of top heavy. Honestly, Colorado might be a little bit deeper. I just think that the schedule also comes into play here. I was looking at Torvik, and Colorado has the easiest schedule of anyone in conference, whereas Arizona has the fourth toughest schedule. So I think that like it's going to be one of those things where Arizona might be the better team, but Colorado just plays more of those teams that are at the bottom of the conference more often and ends up coming out ahead from a record perspective because they just have an easier schedule.
Makes sense. I think Colorado is going to be good. I think it's like splitting hairs between these two in terms of where they land. I think Arizona has a little bit more talent, but I like Colorado. Like, I like the starting pieces for Colorado more, if that makes sense. Then I have Oregon at 4 and UCLA at 5, and you have them opposite. So you have UCLA at 4 and Oregon at 5. Interesting that we keep on flipping on these. Yeah. I think Oregon's going to be really good. I think I like Kerry Oquendo, even though he's not a great shooter. He gets to the bucket with
ease. Absolutely yam on someone though. Yeah. So that
Mookie Cook and Kawam Evans Jr. gonna be great. Gonna be fantastic.
Yeah.
And Folly Dante returning, huge for them.
He's 6'11".
Yeah, and Nate Biddle is 7 foot. So you have
they're big.
You have a lot of height in the front court there, and then you have Kerry Oquendo is a really good guard. Again, he's not a good shooter, but he gets anywhere he wants.
That's why I have them listed a little bit lower. Keyshawn Bartholomew is their top returning shooter at 35.8% and only averaged 9 points per game. So that means he's not taking many threes. They could really use one of Kwame Evans or Mookie Cook to be a really good shooter to add to their rotation. Because that's the only really thing that I worry about here. I think their defense is going to be great with Biddle and Dante. But the shooting is kind of where I pushed UCLA. I think they just have the talent to to work with that's a little bit better than Oregon's, and I am not sold on Oregon's shooting.
Yeah, that's fair. Well, let's get into it with, we'll go snake it now since we're kind of out of the weeds of flipping. So who do you have at six?
I have Stanford. It's kind of funny when I was going through this and doing this, I was like, oh, they lost Harrison Ingram. Like, there's no way that they'll like be up here, but they bring back Spencer Jones, who is really, really good. They also had three of their other starters last year averaged essentially 9 to 10 points. So they should be a really balanced team. Also looking at their front court, especially Spencer Jones and Brandon Angel, both shoot about 39% from three. They bring in Jared Bynum from Providence, who's a solid guard. He's going to be very small in this league that is full of a lot of teams that have that subscribe to the high supremacy, big assist, big guard. But yeah, so I just kind of like their ability to replace Harrison Ingram. And so yeah, I had them sixth. Who did you have at six?
I have Washington at six. But while we were talking about Stanford, because I have Stanford at seven, Andre Stojakovic gonna be really good. He was really good in the McDonald's All-American game. And
I don't know, we've never seen a Stojakovic really have an impact on basketball. So
especially in the state of California or whatever, or in the West Coast, like crazy. Yeah, no, I think he's going to be really good. And he's, spoiler alert, he's an honorable mention for my freshman of the Pac-12. Because I think that's the impact he's going to have. Washington, I think, is going to be pretty good, though, because they return a lot. I mean, they did lose a decent amount, but they only lost one double-digit scorer. So, you know, Keon Brooks, Sevier Wheeler, it's a Kentucky reunion out there. There was even a picture of them, like, back-to-back, like, like, what are we doing? This hurts. but yeah, I think they're going to be fine. Mike Hopkins' seventh season. They didn't make the postseason last year. They finished eighth. I think they can bump up and finish sixth here, like I said. Bump up a couple spots. Again, they're just kind of limited. But overall, I think they're going to be pretty good. They also got Paul McCauley from, or I don't even pronounce it, Milwaukee. From transfer from Rutgers. So that Rutgers team was pretty good. Sneaky good last year. Good
class there with him and Moses Wood both coming in. Mulkey is listed as a guard, but he's 6'7". Moses Wood, 6'8". So getting some nice size that also shoots the ball well.
Like, look at this. Look at the starting lineup, though. They have four grad transfers and a senior. Like, this is an experienced team. So silly mistakes. Like, they should be disciplined. They shouldn't be, like, there shouldn't be a lot of silly mistakes, mental mistakes. If they lose, it's because the other team has just more talent. So that's why I think they should finish right there, smack dab in the middle at six.
Yeah, I have them at eight. And honestly, the, like, well, I guess I have Utah at seven, and I could have easily flipped them and had Stanford and Washington at six and seven here as well.
Yeah, Utah is interesting because I have them at nine, but I just don't know a lot about this Utah team. They did get a Washington transfer and a Colorado transfer, so some interleague transfer going on. Love that. But they did lose Lazar Stefanovic, who was pretty much like one of their leading scorers last year, if I'm not mistaken. He's definitely the one that took down Arizona for them last year. So I mean, we'll see. This Craig Smith team is just interesting because I feel like you never know who is on their team, but they always are just like gonna pop up and spoil something for some teams.
Yeah, no, they're also packing a Twin Towers lineup with Brandon Carlson, who is a grad transfer. Well, isn't a grad transfer for them, is in his grad year with them.
Yeah.
That averaged 16.3 and 7.5 rebounds last year. And then they brought in Lawson Levering, the guy from Colorado. So they should have a ton of size. Yeah. And it's, I mean, this, I feel like we've talked about some leagues that are very like guard driven. I feel like this league is going to be, there are obviously great guards, but it's going to be definitely like a wing and big league because there's a lot of teams that are just really elevating their.
Yeah.
This is a very height supremacist league. I feel like I might have to watch the Pac-12 more often with all these lineups.
Yeah. All right. So you have Utah at 7, Washington at 8, and then I have Stanford at 7 and then Cal at 8. Let's talk about the Cal Golden Bears here for a second. First year with Mark Madsen, not the wasn't that the name of the actor from Reservoir Dogs? Pretty sure it was. I'm pretty sure that's the name of the actor from Reservoir Dogs. Anyways, as
you know, Michael Madsen, yeah.
Mike or Mark?
Michael.
Michael, dang it.
Reservoir Dogs.
Yeah. Who's also the dad or the adopted dad from Free Willy. But yeah, that was such a weird casting.
what a great IMDb twosome there of Reservoir Dogs and Free Willy.
Yep. Also in Hateful Eight, but neither here nor there. He's a Tarantino guy, except for when it comes to orcas. And then he's like, I'm following the orca. But no, Cal, I think, is going to be a good team this year. First year at Cal for Mark Madsen there. I think he came from Utah Valley. Fardaw's Amik, Jalen Tyson, Jalen Cohn, Keontae Kennedy from Memphis. So I don't know the rest that they have, but I know Fardaw's Amik and Jalen Tyson, and those are pretty good players. They also have
Devin Askew. There we go. We're there, baby.
He wasn't even in the starting lineup, despite being the leading scorer for them by this projection. But
I mean, he's the greatest player that has ever existed. He's the greatest Texas player to ever play.
Texas legend, so. Devin Askew. I think this is going to be a fine team. I think putting them to finish 8th after last year when they finished, what? They finished 12th. They finished last. That would be a significant jump for them. But I do like Fardaw's Amik and Jalen Tyson. And those are, Fardaw's finished or played with Madsen at Utah Valley. So, like, getting him back to what he was would be huge for them, where he averaged 18.9 points a game.
I'm doing an on-the-fly edit after seeing this. I didn't look at them that much. They're going to be able to shoot the hell out of the ball.
Yeah.
Their top three guards are all 38-40% three-point shooters. They're going to be one of those teams where you're going to – like, they're going to get caught by some teams that are bad and lose some games. But they're also – I wouldn't be shocked if they end up having two or three wins against USC, Colorado, Arizona. Like, our top four, I wouldn't be shocked if they have three or four wins against them just because they get hot one day. And it's like you can't do anything about their scoring.
Yeah.
So they should have a good looking offense there.
Yeah. I think they'll be fine. To go from 12 to 8 would be huge for them. And then they could just build on that. But getting Fardaw's Amik and Jalen Tyson are huge gets for them. Some significant transfers for them for sure. So we'll see. Let's move on. We both have Arizona State at 10. Bobby Hurley's seat's got to be really hot at this point, right? Because, like, yeah, I think it's what's going to be the hottest, what's going to make it seem like it's going to be the hottest is watching Desmond Cambridge, Devin Cambridge, and DJ Horn transfer out, and they're going to ball out at wherever they go. Because you can tell that they have potential, significant potential, and that it was like, it was definitely a scheme thing that was holding them back last year. So we'll see.
Yeah, shoot. They're going to be dreadful from a shooting perspective.
Kamari Lands, Louisville transfer that also looks like Cody from Surf's Up. Bryant, I don't even know how to pronounce it, the transfer from Tulsa. Zane Meeks.
Salamange?
Yeah, I guess. Zane Meeks from San Francisco. Sean Phillips Jr. transfer from LSU. They got
Adam Miller could be fun.
If he gets a waiver. It's 2 weeks away. We're not sure if he gets a waiver or not.
Hence the could be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love Adam Miller. For that, Adam Miller, if he plays, is the reason I have him at 10. I just don't think he's going to be able to play this year.
It's a weird team for sure.
It's like he got caught with his pants down almost. Like, it's like he's like, oh crap, we have to put a team together after losing. Maybe he thought he could keep Cambridge Brothers and DJ Horn. I don't know, but they're out, and he's like, oh crap, I got to figure something out.
Yeah, outside of Frankie Collins, I don't see where the playmaking. This team just feels like a team full of ball stoppers, and ball stoppers that aren't even really that great at shooting, which is not a good combo that you want to have. So I worry about that a lot.
Yep. So, okay, we both have Wazoo and Oregon State at 11 and 12. So the bottom half, the top half was kind of flip-flop, but the bottom third, I guess, was more flipped or was the same for us. So, there's not much to say about these two teams, honestly. Like,
yeah, great. You lose TJ Bamba and Muhammad Gai and Justin Powell from Washington State. The starting lineup has been gutted. They add a couple guys. They add Yusefu from Kansas, who's fine. Hasn't showed much, but
12 minutes a game as a fifth year and 4 points a game. You know,
like if you're gonna add someone like that that's in a fifth year, it might as well be from Kansas, just because they have the talent to actually like hold someone out like that. But I'm not. This team doesn't really do it for me at all. And the team that definitely doesn't do it for me is Oregon State, because they are going to be dreadful.
Yeah.
They should probably be competing for worst team in the power or like the big five conferences. Yeah. Like,
power or six, or whatever you want to call it in basketball. They finished 11th last year. They had one departure who was 11 point per game scorer, Glenn Taylor. And they got a transfer from College of Southern Idaho, Nate Meathoff, or whatever.
Hilarious that they're like, so they are an interesting team in that they're like, almost everyone on their team is a sophomore. So they brought in a bunch of guys and have got a bunch of guys returning, but they're not even that old.
Yeah.
Even with a bunch of guys returning. Also, shout out to Christian Wright, who shot 6.9% from 3-point line last year.
As a 6'3 guard. For those who don't know who Christian Wright is.
Absolute nice shooter. I appreciate him committing to the bet there.
Yeah, I just don't see this team being anything. And they're going to finish last for sure.
They're not even like big. Like, they're small. They went 5-15 in the Pac-12 last year, and they lose, their second best player, and they don't replace him with really anyone. That seems like he's going to be doing much. So I feel like they're a clear last.
What's crazy is 3 years ago, this same coach knocked out Tennessee in like the first round or second round of the NCAA tournament. That's a good
one. That's just playing Rick Barnes in March. Like, your job's done for you.
Yep. Okay. Well, let's get into it. Let me find a coin to flip here as we get into our all Pac-12 team.
I don't like this game.
Call it heads or tails.
Tails.
It's heads, so I will go first.
Ooh, actually, that's fine.
All right, with my first pick, I'm going with Boogie Ellis from USC. You
jerk.
But you get the snake.
How are you? This is upsetting. You're dumb. I don't like this. I want to do this back. All right, I'm going to go. This is going to be one of those weird ones where like you can get really, really weird on the roster construction. So whether this is like building an actual team versus predicting how many people are going to be in the.
SEC and I think Pac-12 both had like 12 players in their first team or something like that. They had like 8 players because they had the 5 and the.
All right, I'm gonna go Umar Ballo.
It's a good pick.
And I'm gonna go. I can't get you get. I'm gonna go Tristan Da Silva.
It's a solid pick.
I think he's going to be really good. We didn't really talk about him when we talked about Colorado. That we actually didn't talk about either of the Colorado guys a ton, but I think they're both going to be two of the better players. Now I just need you to not do what I hope you don't do.
Oh, I'm going to go and folly Dante.
It's fine. I'm happy with that.
And then I'm going to go Cody Williams.
I'm also fine with that.
I guess like a guard slash forward, I guess. I don't really know what he'd be considered.
I think he's a guard. Wing, I don't know. Yeah. I was hoping that you wouldn't take one of these guys, and you didn't take either of them. I don't love doubling up on teams here, but I'm going to go Kylan Boswell. Because I think he, outside of Boogie Ellis, probably is the second best guard in this league. And I'm going to go KJ Simpson.
Those are solid. I thought about Boswell, but I wanted to go for the flashier names.
The flashier name, I feel like you always end up like hyping up guys, and then it's especially in just a sport that is getting older, the younger guys get more love like during the season. Like I'm sure we'll talk about Cody Williams more than we'll talk about, I don't know, insert random like kind of old guy here. But then whenever it gets to like actually this like voting, it skews old guy. So
yeah,
that's kind of my thought process.
All right. I'm stuck here on this, my last two picks, because it's with that same predicament.
I'm between two guys, so I just hope you don't take one of them.
Well, I'm going to go Keon Brooks with this one. I need to see. All right, so I really need another guard for how I like to construct my rosters, not for how I think it'll pan out in the voting.
There's one clear guard that out there that you could pick.
Yeah, I'm kind of between two here, but I don't want to double up on teams.
Oh, do you also not want to double up on freshmen?
Yeah, that too.
Yeah,
let's screw it. I'll go Isaiah Collier.
Yeah, I like it. Like, where did it's up, but. No, not ACC. Get out of here. Okay. Well, you didn't make this easy for me. I'm between. Ooh, do you want to? All right. I always do this, but do you want to guess who I'm between here?
Not really. Like, I have no idea.
They're two bigs. One of them. Neither of them have been.
A Dembona?
Correct. Team, wrong player.
Yeah, then I don't know.
Ade Mara is one, but I think I'm going to go Brandon Carlson to round it out. Just because he's more of a proven commodity, and I think Utah is going to be like, solid. And yeah. I like it.
All right, let's get into our season superlatives. Make sure you guys go vote on Twitter for these teams, because I
don't think vote for Connor though.
This please. One might
let me win one of them.
You might win this one. I honestly think it just helps when you have the second pick. When you go second, like back to back, you get two really good players. I mean, they're obviously all good players, but
yeah,
you get to pick your best two there to start. All right, season superlatives, player of the year. I put Omar Ballo actually, despite not having him on my team.
It's funny because you picked Omar Ballo for player of the year. I picked Cody or Boogie Ellis for player of the year. And somehow we ended up with them flipped.
Yep. Well, I honestly thought you were going to pick Boogie Ellis or trying to think somebody else. Like I was trying to go where a little bit, you know, not the same as yours. So,
yeah.
So here we go.
No, Boogie Ellis is really, really good, but Omar Ballo, again, we talked about this league being like skewing more towards bigs, and I feel like that might end up like I think Omar Ballo is the best big in this league. So I think that either of them could win it, and it would be not surprising.
Yeah, I just think Omar Ballo is really good, and in a league that doesn't have very many good bigs, he's going to stand out.
Yeah.
So we've seen that time and time again the last few years, where bigs haven't been a factor, or when they are, they have to be superstars. So, coach of the year, who do you have?
Yeah, I have Mick Cronin. Just because in a league or in a sport where it's skewing old, I feel like that the top teams will be the top team. So you won't get one of those guys that really like jumps up into the top three and it's like, oh, they were projected to be ninth and then they rose. So I feel like that he might get the nod just because he has such a new team that's going to be freshman dominated. Well, not freshman dominated, but there will be a lot of freshmen contributing. So I feel like that he might get the nod there. But this is one of those where I feel like there could be like the coach of the year votes will get spread across a bunch of different people.
Yeah.
This year.
I have Tad Boyle as my coach of the year. They finished eighth last year in the Pac-12. I have them finishing third. So
he's having finishing second. So yeah.
So I just think this is the year that he gets that. This is the 14th year here. Also, we didn't mention Eddie Lampkin at all. TCU transfer, big tubby guy, kind of crazy. I think Colorado is going to be a really good team.
Yeah.
Their
starting five is really, really, really good.
Speaking of Colorado, I have Cody Williams as my freshman of the year. I was going to pick Isaiah Collier because I thought you were going to pick Cody Williams I was playing contrarian here, but since you didn't take him, by all means, Cody Williams, come on down.
I did. You put this in the doc first, so Cody Williams would have been my pick probably. But I went to Damara. He's a 7'3" playmaking big. He's like, if you took a little bit off of Donovan Klingon's defensive ability, because Donovan Klingon just has unbelievable timing that Damara doesn't have. But Damara has been playing not just like mediocre basketball in Europe, but like actual legitimate competition in Europe, and could be one of the five best playmakers in the country this year, or not in the country, but in the Pac-12.
Yeah.
So I think he's going to be, he's super fun to watch. I think he'll end up being that. I don't actually probably believe that because Cody Williams and Isaiah Collier will just have more of a role. But I'm really excited about Damara.
Yeah. Honorable mention, like I said earlier, Andre Stojakovic could definitely be in the running for freshman of the year, probably like finish out like third or fourth, but like right there. The impact he's going to have at Stanford is going to be awesome. Transfer of the year. Who you got?
I got Keyshawn Johnson. I think that this Arizona team is, I feel like Caleb Love gets the most kind of pun not intended. He gets the most love for being there. Like, big transfer, but Keyshawn Johnson is just a super glue guy. I think that being in an offense that's more open will allow him to flex a little bit more of his offensive skills that he was not able to flex just because it's not the priority in San Diego State, but will still have that same defensive tenacity. So he's my transfer of the year.
Yeah, I almost went with him. Again, played contrarian, and I also wanted to give some love to the lower half of the Pac-12. Yeah. So I went with Fardaz Amik. Because I do think he's going to get back to his regular ways that he did at Utah Valley, which made him a hot commodity transfer market potential player there for a lot of teams. So Fardaz is going to be my transfer of the year. KJ Simpson is my breakout player of the year. And you might be like, that's insane. He averaged 15 points a game last year. Well, they finished eighth in the conference. And if they're finishing third or second, like we are projecting them to be, it's going to be because of him being able to guard the ship there, guide the ship there, not guard it, but also guard it. To be able to guide the ship there, because you do have Eddie Lampkin, Tristan De Silva, and Cody Williams. You got to get the ball to them. And how do you do it? Through KJ Simpson.
I mean, I picked him on my team for a reason. I really like that. It's, again, in college basketball this year, it's kind of hard in general to pick breakout guys because there's so many returning players.
Yeah.
I pick Spencer Jones just because I think Stanford's going to be really good. And I feel like that he's probably, I mean, you could have argued one or two on their team last year. But with Harrison Ingram gone, I feel like he really steps into that role of being the go-to guy for Stanford. And becomes more of a kind of a household name. But yeah, it's tough to really pick a guy that's truly going to break out because there's so many returning players.
Yeah, that is fair. I meant to change this earlier, but oh well. Team that scares you the most. I have Oregon. I think their length is insane. And especially in this league where there isn't a lot of length anywhere else, they're going to give some teams some problems. I was explaining it the other night because Ole Miss beat somebody in the secret scrimmage, and I was like, they're going to be a problem for SEC teams.
Okay, I forgot that Ole Miss hired stupid Chris Beard. Why is he a coach?
Exactly.
Gross.
Anyways, I explained that Ole Miss is going to be a problem, and then I said they're not going to be good, but they're going to be a problem. People are like, what does that even mean? How they're not going to be good and be a problem? And I'm just like, okay, they're not going to win a lot of games, but the games they do win are going to cause fits for people, and the way that they win games is going to cause fits for people. Perfect example, Oregon is just the Ole Miss of Pac-12. That's what it is, because they have freaking Musa Cisse and Jermarion Sharpe at Ole Miss, and then you have what's his name? Nate Biddle and Folly Dante. That's like the same size that issues that you're going up against. Plus, they're just a really experienced team, and a really experienced team can take advantage of some stupid mistakes that young teams will make. And there's a lot of young teams in this league too.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm going Colorado just because I think they have three of the probably 10 or 11 best players, including, despite my freshman of the year pick, I think they have the best freshman in Cody Williams. So, I mean, they're just going to be a nightmare to match up against. It's a big dominated league, so Arizona probably will have the best offense, but I think Colorado will have the second best offense in the conference, like efficiency-wise. They're going to be a nightmare to try and guard.
Yeah. All right, who's your best pro prospect in the Pac-12?
I mean, it's probably, I don't know, they're the three options of the three freshmen.
Yeah.
I don't even really know. I'm trying to think of anyone kind of to honorable mention out here. I don't know. I went with Ademara just because 7'3" guys are really hard to come by that can actually play. And while Cody Williams and Isaiah Collier are both great, they're just like more, they fit more of a mold of players we've seen. So they might not be like as special as Ademara, who kind of comes in and he's not as advanced offensively as Alperen Şengün, but brings the same kind of big man that can pass and facilitate and play make while also being 7'3" rather than like 6'10" and can actually bring some value defensively. So for our Rockets fans out there that really like watching Şengün, Ademara has like a kind of a similar level of impact with added defensive efficiency there.
Yeah. I have Isaiah Collier as my best pro prospect because he's a 6'5" point guard that he's really strong and he has a lot of good body control when he plays and super balanced. So it helps him on the offensive end and defensively. Like, he doesn't give up a whole lot. He doesn't have a lot of length, so that kind of hurts him as far as when it comes to being a guard at the next level. But, I mean, what he's going to get offensively, he's really strong. He draws fouls at a really good rate. So if once he develops that shot even more, he's going to be really good. You're not going to see the best of him, obviously, in a USC uniform. But
yeah,
he's still going to be pretty dang good this year. So.
Yeah, he's really fun. I feel like that he obviously is only like 6'3", 6'4", so he's not quite Shai Gilgeous-Alexander in terms of the height or the wingspan, but his ability to like change pace and keep guys on his hip and kind of do all the weird tempo stuff that Shai does whenever he's getting into the lane and kind of knifing through is stuff that Isaiah Collier is already really advanced with.
A lot of people are saying it's 6'5", but
I saw 6'3" on the Athletics, like on Sam Bassini's.
Yeah, first mock. Like it's kind of very. I mean, we're talking the difference of an inch or two is so not.
He's probably 6'4"
Yeah. Yeah, but I think he's gonna be pretty good. Overall,
it is, it just does come down to the shot, which is probably, like you said, something where we see him really break out in like year three of being in the league, yeah, as opposed to this year.
He'll be drafted on potential alone, and then he'll develop a shot for sure. Washington is my sleeper team of the year. Again, I haven't finishing sixth, but I think they could, like, that's pretty good considering what they were before, and I think they're just going to, like, with all that experience, they can definitely make the tournament and, you know, cause some problems for some teams in the tournament.
Yeah. How many teams do you think make the tournament from the Pac-12?
It's tough. Probably, if I'm saying Washington could make the tournament, that means somebody's got to drop out of the top five there. But I'd say probably 4 to 5. We'll make the tournament.
I think I would set the over under at 5.5.
Yeah.
Where they have whoever finishes top five in the league, I think makes it. And it's like, isn't a six team going to kind of be good enough and have a good enough non-conference schedule to get a sixth team in?
Yeah. It kind of depends on how they do outside of the conference too.
Yeah.
If they go out and dominate outside of the conference and then, you know, they battle each other inside the conference, especially that top six, seven teams, then it'll help. Washington State, Oregon State, Arizona State, they're going to really drag this conference down. So you got to take care of business against those teams, because they're not going to do any favors.
For sure.
So, all right, well, let's wrap this thing up. Do you have any other last minute questions?
What are you most excited for the Pac-12?
The freshman of the year race, I think, is going to be really fun. And we've talked about it. I think that's going to be something like you're going to look at the schedule and find when Colorado's playing USC to see who has the final say, the last laugh, whatever you want to call it. I think that's going to be great. And yeah, honestly, that's what I'm looking forward to the most is who wins that freshman of the year title.
Yeah, that was kind of the route I was going to go. I would say, again, broken record, but this is a just sport this year that is very much older. You obviously have a down freshman class, so you're not really looking at as many like big time freshman names, but I feel like that you are seeing it feels like 3/4 of the big freshmen are either in the SEC because they play for Kentucky or are in the Pac-12. So it's definitely
we say it's a down class. I just don't agree with that. I think it feels like it's a down class, but if you look at like what next year's class is looking like, this year's class looks loaded. And
true,
you know, and like, and last year's class, I feel like wasn't that loaded either. It had some big names at the top, but no more than we have this year. I just think this year you see a lot of freshmen on the same team, like Kentucky,
You also had two of the top, like, guys, there are probably 4 or 5 guys that are in contention for the first round pick or like the first overall pick this year. And two of them went to the G League Ignite. So it's like this class also is like kind of playing with one hand tied behind its back.
Yeah.
Also, another one gets arrested at a Taco Bell. Who among us hasn't wanted to leave a Taco Bell drive through at 2 a.m.?
That's the thing. That's the thing this year. Like you mentioned that Mikey Williams did himself no favors, did this class no favors by doing what he did. You know, like there's been a lot of question marks around this class, but I still think the talent is there because we wouldn't be talking about them if they weren't. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Not 9 of the top 21 players, really 9 of the top 19 players, because you have Holland and Bezelis going pro. 9 of the top 19 players are either Pac-12 or Kentucky players.
Yeah.
So it's the freshman class is
just super concentrated.
You know, distributed.
Yeah. Yeah. Just super concentrated. Whereas it hasn't been before. So it feels like, oh, this class is just like, meh. But they've been saying about this class for a while. This is really down class, not as talented, blah, blah, blah. I just don't buy it. I feel like there's a lot of talent in this class. Go ahead.
There's no transcendent, like clear elite level talent, which I think is why it kind of gets that.
Yeah.
That rep.
Yeah.
Obviously 2 years ago you had, you had like a Paolo Banchero to headline the class where you're like, all right, he's a bona fide star, which we can, I can rant about this later. But I still don't understand like the narrative around how he gets spoken about by Magic fans and the NBA. They're like, is this Paolo's breakout year? And I'm like, he was like one of the best rookies ever last year. Like, what are we talking about? He's also the number one pick. And was it the top player in his high school class for like, since his freshman year? Like, what are we acting like that he's some underdog story that wasn't the
where he plays of them, but people just don't watch the Magic, and that's why.
Yeah, but like, we've watched him for the last 6 years be like the best player in his class. So I don't know. Anyways, I am excited about, I mean, this freshman class. I think there isn't anyone that's like, you know, a transcendent level talent, but there is a lot of talent.
We had back-to-back years of Paolo Banchero and Victor Wembanyama. Like, those are going to be two names that we're going to be talking about for a while.
Dude, Victor Wembanyama is nuts. I don't understand how he's a human. And that's not a new take, but the block he had on Clay, where Clay pump faked, did his like little like quick gather thing, wasn't able to get it off, passed it, and then got it back and tried to shoot it, and just it didn't matter, is insane.
I love Paolo, but the Magic tanked the wrong year, man. Sucks. They tanked the wrong year. Anyways, all right, let's get out of here. So make sure you check out Home Field Apparel, and you
do it
all in all caps, Variety Sports, to get 15% off your first order. Check out Variety Sports Network.
I was going to say, they need all the help they can get in trying to fund a buyout for the Indiana football coach, because they really need to buy that dude out. And they have spent a lot of money on basketball the last couple of years. So Home Field Apparel could use your help there.
Follow us on Instagram and TikTok at Beers and Buckets Pod. Subscribe to our YouTube channel if you're following along on YouTube right now. Make sure you like the video. It really helps with the algorithm. Yeah. So like. And share this episode on Twitter and other social media platforms if you really like beer and basketball. So this has been real. It's been fun. It's been real fun. You guys have a fantastic week, and we'll catch you later this week for an SEC episode.
Peace.